Welcome to the Quitting Marijuana Podcast. I'm your host, Jonah, and woo, everybody, it has been a long, long time. It is good, so good to be with you. 30 days clean. That's what's up. Normally, I'm gone for a long time, and it's because I've been out hitting the pipe, you know, hitting the old tinfoil, or, you know, smoking a pre-rolled J. Not this time. Praise God, praise God. It's so stinking good to be back on the mic and to be getting your messages. Got a great message from a fellow teacher. She's getting fired up listening to the show. And, hey, that does me a lot of good. I'm glad to know it's helping you out. Hopefully you guys have all enjoyed the conversations about quitting. I enjoy chatting with those people. I always learn something. If you're interested in coming on the show, shoot me an email. We'll make it happen. We got to give a big shout out to our listeners in Ashburn, Virginia, Anchorage, Alaska, Oneonta, New York, and Crawford, Nebraska. Hey, hope you are keeping out of trouble and chasing your dreams. Trying to open up the show with a word of prayer, trying to keep God in the forefront of my life. It's not easy. Got to give a shout out to Jamie. She actually sent me a cross. It was awesome. It's got a little Bible verse on it, and that's hanging on top of my car rearview mirror right now. It's always just, it's shaking. I reach out and touch it when shit's going bad. You know, in Christ, I can do all things, you know, through him who strengthens me. And it's just, I have a giant fucking ego. Like, that's what it is, right? And maybe all humans have that. It's not just me, but I really struggle prostrating myself, humbling myself, worshiping, begging forgiveness, begging for mercy. And that's what, you know, if you believe in God, like, that's kind of a big deal, right? Like, if they were standing in front of me, if they were sitting on a throne of fire, right, of gold, surrounded by angels, and I'm in his, and I'm using he just as a personification, but I'm in the majesty of all that, you better believe I would be face first on the ground. You better believe I would be too scared to even look up, right? But here I am on earth, surrounded by the mundane. Obviously, we are headed towards straight up evil. There is straight up evil in the news, whether it is young men committing heinous acts or the grooming and the fucking sexually charged conversations that are being shoved down our kids' throats and put into the forefront, or the manipulation of our medical system. It's just the corruption in the politics. It's insane. It's insane. Okay, we're not going good places, but here we are together, trying to do something good for ourselves. As Jordan Peterson said, if you get better, the world gets better. If people would just focus on themselves and making themselves better, everything else would improve too. So I'd like to open with a word of prayer. I didn't used to do that. Now I am. I don't feel like I'm very good at praying. Jamie, phenomenal prayer. Okay, she has prayed for me more than once, and she is just so powerful. She gets it. She's in tune with it. And you're stuck with me. But Jamie and I have talked about doing a podcast about Jesus. And so let's just get into it. Dear God, thank you so much for your mercies. And we come before you knowing that our struggle with addiction is greater than ourselves. There are people in our lives who ask us why we can't just have one toke, why we can't just smoke one J, why we can't just on a Saturday night relax and just do it once a week. And it's because we've tried and we've tried and we've tried again. And it never works. It never works. And God, you have had to, you know, you've had to watch as we've destroyed ourselves through this addiction. And we just are here thanking you for your grace and your mercy to get one more chance, another opportunity to do the right thing, to live up to what you have put in us, and to be the light in the world. So thank you, God. And we ask that you bless this podcast and that you bless all the listeners who are joined in this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. Our reading this show comes from the Holy Bible. Try to do a couple different things. I don't know if I've read from Sri Chinmoy in a while, but I'll definitely do that next show. But right now we're going to go from the Holy Bible, Psalms chapter 49, verses 1 through 13. And of course I had been... Okay, here we go. Sorry. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in days of adversity, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches, No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever, that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike perish, and they leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses are forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They have called their lands after their own names. But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of those after them who approve their words. And may God's blessing be on our reading today. Now, you guys know that I have been screwing around with the podcast format, trying to get something that's a little more consistent, both for my own sake as well as, you know, to try to make a better listening experience for everybody. But it has been so long, and I don't know how I'm supposed to get all of that in. And so I'm just going freelance. This is old school, baby. Old school Jonah. And I keep jumping because something in all of my wires is going like periodically. And so it's like terrifying. What was the, remember that short story you might have read in high school where in order to make everybody equal, everybody's all going to be the same. They, you know, if you were more gifted intellectually, then they would put these headphones on you and guns would go off and it would distract you from the moment, so that way your intelligence was operating at the level of everybody else's because you couldn't focus very long. And anyway, it's just a thing. And so right now, this is going nuts. It's driving me crazy. But I digress. So when did I last smoke? It was March 25th. I had told some people it was March 24th because that was the memorable evening. But it was actually the 25th, so that's why I'm on day 30. Managed to go through 420 without smoking, holla! But that wasn't as hard as last night. However, let's go back to where we were here. March 24th, I was getting stoned. I was getting real fucking stoned. I don't know what happened. It's blurry to me. Did I even smoke before the 24th? Probably. Maybe I had some bud and I was like, oh, I gotta get rid of it. And so I'm just gonna smoke it all to my face. Like classic Jonah, right? I'm not gonna do any marijuana. And then, bam, I'm gonna smoke a whole fuck ton right to my face. And then I'm gonna quit. And so I gotta get it all in while I can. And so anyway, I get ripped before I head to the woods. And up until this point, my back had been doing really good. You guys know I had been wrestling. I had been lifting weights. And I had gotten, you guys didn't know, but I got back into my minimalist footwear. I was wearing these Earth Runners, which have a cool little copper tab on the bottom, a little copper plug so that I'm always grounded. And they're like ultra minimalist. And I had been wearing those to school. I've been running around the playground with the kids. So here I am sprinting through the wood chips, jumping like an NFL player or some track and field hurdler, you know, jumping over the pirate ship, jumping off of the slides, doing all sorts of stuff you're not really supposed to do. But whatever, I like to have fun. And so from there, I go to the gym, I lift weights, I get done with the gym, and I'm like, you know what? I really want to go to the timber. I haven't been to the woods in forever. I'm going to do some scouting. So I take the dog. I knew I had to walk the dog, so I was like, I'll go with the dog. Take the dog, drive down, get lit. I mean, just get tore up, and then I start my walk. Well, it's steep terrain. Eventually, it starts off pretty low. It's in open hardwoods for the most part, but it's a real steep bluff. And so I start angling my way up the bluff, and I'm wearing these big boots, big slippery mud boots type things, you know, because the trail getting there was super duper wet. It was springtime. And I get to a really cool tree. It's gigantic. It's like some massive oak, okay? And it's hollow on the inside. It's what they call a den tree for like raccoons or porcupines or something. Like, you can look right up in there. I could have sat right inside the giant hollow part that was even with the ground. The tree like curled around it, almost like Sam Grisby from My Side of the Mountain, if you ever read that one. So, you know, I take a few pictures with the dog there because it's so heady. And then I continue up the face of this ridiculously steep slope. I'm looking for deer beds, right? Where are they bedding? Where are the bucks watching the does move during the rut? And so I get up to a little precipice, you might say. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This could be a bed. I'm going to take a picture of this. I reach down for my phone, and it's not there. Now, it's twilight. Evening is falling. It's beautiful. The sky is a beautiful reddish color. But dark is approaching. I'm high as a kite. This phone has my whole life on it. It's a Friday. My mind, you know how it is, you guys, when you lose your phone, you're like, fuck, 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 fuck. And it could be anywhere, right? Like, I'm off in the wilderness. And I'm on a wicked steep, ultra steep hillside. So there's nothing to it but to do it, right? Like, I start retracing my steps. I get all the way back to the tree. I couldn't find it. I knew I had taken a picture at the tree, so I didn't have to go all the way to the car. Then I try going back up. I'm going up, slipping on the leaves, right? Layers and layers of oak leaves and maple leaves and beech leaves and these giant mud boots, my feet flopping around, my back starting to seize up. Couldn't find it there. Now I'm getting nervous. Now I'm starting to panic a little bit. And I'm reminiscing of a time in Vermont when I had lost my phone and I had given up completely. I had on my hands and knees, I had been tracing my trail, right? Hands and freaking knees. And I gave up completely, sat down, and I looked over and there it was. And so I'm thinking to myself, dear God, please let something like that happen. But it ain't happening. So I start grid searching up. I'm like, okay, do I start at the bottom and grid search my way up? Or do I start at the top and grid search my way down? Because by now my legs are shot. They are totally tore up. I'm talking, you guys, it's scramble type steep. You know what I'm saying? It's hands and knees sometimes. It's that steep. So I decide to start at the top. And I'm grid searching. I go all the way past where I knew I had been. So I'm going parallel with the contour lines, right? Just going directly across the slope. I go down a couple of feet. I walk all the way back. Again, pitched wicked steep. Go down a little more. Walk all the way back. And the shadows are just lengthening. It's getting darker. Now I'm praying, right? In my head, I'm bargaining with God. I'm like, please, God. Please, God. I'll never smoke again. Oh, I just need to find my phone. Oh, dear God, please let me find my phone. I'm a loser. Oh. And it's getting so dark. I'm like, this is it. I don't think I can finish the grid search. Like, I have to give this one more attempt. So I'm thinking, man, I must have, when I was at the tree, it must have just slipped out of my pocket right then. So I go down to the tree. At this point, I'm pretty sure I have tears in my eyes. I had already prayed. I had already stopped at one point and prayed. I get down to the tree, and I collapse on my knees, and I hold my arms up to the sky, and I beg God. I'm like, God, please, please reveal my phone to me. I will not smoke anymore tonight. I will quit. You know, and I'm just begging, crying basically. And I open my eyes, and there's my phone. Holy shit. So I'm praising God. I get my phone. I go back to the car. Dog's freaking out, right? She's been whining the whole time. She's this little chihuahua mix, and we're out in the freaking timber. Go back home. I'm still a little stoned. Never as high as you want to be, right? But high. And I'm like, I'm not smoking. Even though I wanted to, believe me, I did. The next morning came, and I smoked that morning. Smoked heavy, because I was like, oh, I bargained that night. But then I did not smoke on Sunday. And so that was the last time. That was the last time I smoked. And now I've been on the longest push yet. Let me tell you something. The dopamine cravings came heavy right around day 27, day 28, just like they always do, right? That's been a kicker for me and some other people too. There's like day 15, you get a real like urge. And then like day 28, 29, for me, it was bad, like super duper bad. To the point to where I actually bought some stuff, right? Like I bought some camouflage, dopamine hit, right? Spending money, retail therapy, yeah! And then I looked at porn, hadn't looked at porn in like 2 weeks. You know, I had been real good about it, reading the Bible, like just putting all my attention on the woman. And finally, you know, busted it out, like pulled out the porn. It was crazy. I could tell I was dopamine depleted. It was nuts. One more detail though that you guys might not know. I say this because how many times have you said you quit smoking? About a million, right? Well, I also said I was going to quit drinking. Now, how did that happen? Well, I go on spring break. Don't bring any bud with me. Have a great time bow fishing, true redneck style, down in the bayous of Virginia, out in the muddy water. I'm with the father-in-law on his little bass boat, and we got bow and arrows, little compound bows with strings tied to the arrows, and we're shooting carp. We're looking for carp and gar, and you just float around with the boat, and when you see a fish sunning itself, you rip back and let it go. Try to sneak up close enough so you can actually be within bow range. And I had to tune the bow up because I had it tuned down for the daughter. She wasn't as strong enough to pull it back super far. But I smoked a couple carp. It was cool. Shot a common carp, shot a grass carp, shot a gar, shot a couple grass carp, actually. Lost a few fish. Here's the thing. These fish are invasive. There's no limits on the carp, and the gar were 5 a day. And we didn't just throw the fish in the trash. We brought them home and composted them out in the woods. You know, it's the energy's going back into nature. So don't come at me. You know, it's my fishing license that are paying for all those fish in the water, just in case you didn't know. Okay, hunting and fishing and trapping are the only reason why we have natural resources in the form of fish and game and fowl. So anyway, I don't want to go there right now. But so that was cool. Go to the beach. Beach not so hot. We're with the wife's friends. It's a girl. She's married. They got a couple of kids. The kids are fairly well behaved, but the girl is completely clueless. Like the family definitely is well off financially, and pretty much all they do is order out. They showed up with no food. You have two kids and you have no food. So they ate all of our food, which was crazy. And we had brought a bunch of wine because this girl's a big wine snob. And then sure enough, she's pregnant again. And why didn't she just say, when my wife texted her a million times about wine choices, this and that, why didn't she just say, oh, hey, I'm pregnant? Or like, oh, hey, I'm not going to be drinking, right? Or say, oh, I'm bringing my own. Don't worry about it. I don't know. But I had a case of the fuckets. I drank a bottle in like 30 minutes and had a couple of shots. And then the next day was in the jacuzzi, same thing. Drank, just chugged a bottle of wine, basically. It was all sweet wine, so super easy. Chugged a bottle of wine, started pounding the whiskey. We go out to eat, and then I'm looking for a pool table. Like, I just want to shoot pool because I don't care. I don't care. Something was going on in me, you guys. It was whether I was upset about the state of my life with us not having kids, or whether I felt like, you know, the wife and I had been kind of going off and on with her carrying her own weight around the house. And I know that sounds chauvinistic, okay, for all the ladies out there. It's very unusual probably to have a husband who cooks and cleans and rubs you down with coconut oil and buys the flowers and leaves little love notes and walks the dog and does the chores. But I swear I do those things. And she has these do-nothing days, which are just crazy. And she went part-time to help with her depression, which is cool. But then she would stay home and not do anything about her depression, but also simultaneously not do any chores. And it's like, listen, you got to do one or the other. So I don't know what was up, but I'm drinking. Couldn't find a pool table. Drove past a shop that was selling like THC, like Delta 9 or something. And I bought some flower that it didn't have any THC in it at all. And it was dog shit. It didn't fucking do anything for me. And I get back to the house. I had a shot at one of the bars who told me there's no pool table on the whole island. Outer Banks, no pool table. Okay, fuck. And I get back, and the wife is like, hey, you know, what's up? Why are you drinking like this? And I just looked at her, and I was like, why not? I'm like, why the fuck not? And so then she's like, okay, well, I think we should quit drinking. And so that's basically her saying, because she's a very responsible drinker, that she's going to stop drinking in order to help me stop drinking. And that's all I've wanted, right? I've asked her for us to be a completely sober family for a while. And so we end up going for a walk. We go to the beach. I end up sobbing hysterically. I'm like, I don't want to live like everybody else. Like, I don't want that life. Like, there's just more out there. And so anyway, we have this whole big kumbaya thing. We come back. We get in the hot tub. We have some hot tub sex. We get in the bed. Wake up the next morning. Bang again. And it's all good, right? It's all cool and copacetic. Well, here we are stateside, you know, get back up in the Northeast, and like 2 days later, boom, she's having a beer. We go out with her family who's visiting, and she has a beer. She's like, oh, do you mind if I have a beer? And I'm like, no, go for it. And then a couple days later, go for a hike with my brother. He gives her a beer. She doesn't drink it, but she brings it home. And I'm just like, what is going on? You know, like, what's up? Like, I don't want a bunch of beer in the house. Oh, I just can't say no. You told me it didn't matter. And I was like, no, like, I'm not trying to impose my sobriety on you, but it would be nice if we didn't have booze in the house, at least. And so, anywho, I haven't drank now in whatever, you know, 2-3 weeks. Not a huge deal. We'll see. Haven't had a ton of temptations. Did have a big temptation to take a bong rip though this past weekend. It's, you know, you ever listen to, like, watch Scarface? I never have, but apparently there was like a huge pile of cocaine, right? And he's just like ripping the cocaine. Well, I go and help my friend move. Remember the woman who's an alcoholic because her husband's a deadbeat loser, doesn't help out at all, doesn't do any chores, doesn't help with the kid. The kid's autistic, super, super lame. He moves the 21-year-old girlfriend into the house. They've been living there for a couple of months. The wife thought she'd be fine with it because maybe they would help with the kid, but of course they don't. So I go to move her into her own apartment, and I stop in his bedroom, and it's just like Scarface. He has this massive, probably like an ounce and a half, of weed all ground up in a huge pile. And he had been ripping the bong, and he offered me a bong rip when I got there. And I was like, no, man, I'm not doing that. And then a couple of times he leans out his bedroom window while I'm in the driveway and he blows smoke down at me, right? Like he's trying to bring me down with him or something. It's fucked up. And I'm tempted, don't get me wrong. Like, I want to. I ended up smoking half a cigarette with her later, and then I was really, really jonesing for it. But listen, you look at this guy and he's fiending. He can't go 2 hours without it. Otherwise, he gets grouchy as fuck. He started freaking out while we were carrying some furniture, you know, anxious to get, but he's losing his mind. And then as soon as we get back, he's like, and I'm like, oh, okay, yep, he was jonesing for some THC. So anyway, no really crazy side effects. Been dreaming a ton, but they're not nightmares. They just more relate to whatever's happened during the day. I will say I did have another episode of the mouth taste. Very strange. Only happened to me about 3 times in all these years of trying to quit. But bam, I just got punched in the face with weed mouth. It was wild. It tasted delicious, but I was just like, ah, what the fuck is going on? So yeah, recent temptations. And I'm worried moving forward because it's turkey season. And I got to be able to get up north without bringing bud with me. And then I'm going to be hanging some deer stands and scouting some county land with my buddy, and he, you know, we've done a gorilla grow together a couple of times, and the weed is cured forever, and we usually end up toking it up. The irony, though, right, or the drawback, is that when I toke it up with this guy, we always end up being a little paranoid around each other. Like, I don't know, like, it's just, we still have a good time, we have moments of awesomeness, moments of being close, moments of joviality, moments of being jovial. But then there are also like real kind of awkward moments, like semi-paranoid moments, like need to have some space moments. It's fucking strange, right? But when we're both sober, it's all good. Like we're both hardworking men, right? You know, red-blooded Americans. So, you know, I'm going to need some prayer to be able to resist that temptation of burning with him. Some prayer to resist temptation of bringing some dope up with me. Going to be at a lakeside cottage, like perfect situation. And I've always been ripped turkey hunting, always. So anyway, sorry, really ripping there, you guys. That's a long one. But if you have an addiction story you'd like to share anonymously, please send me an email at quittingmarijuanapodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to come on the show, please, hello, come out there, come on the show. It's totally anonymous. I'm just some random guy. To talk about your journey or sober lifestyle, let me know. We'll set it up on Zoom. Okay, I don't save the video or anything. I'm happy to do it with no video if I don't really know you, like the most recent one with Daria. We did do video because we've been going back and forth, you know, for like over a year now. But I'm cool, and with Alan the first time, no video. Right, I didn't turn the video on until we were done because then it was like so intimate. It's like, all right, you know, I trust this guy. So yeah, that is the shtick. Been waking up at 4 a.m. shooting the bow every day. I do, well, almost every day, right? I average about 120 arrows a week. I'm training core 30 minutes in the morning, meditating 10 minutes, reading the Bible. Recently picked swimming back up again, so swimming Monday, Wednesday, Friday for half an hour. Really good, obviously, for the back. Grinding with the foam rollers and everything, trying to put the body back together, and making it happen at the office. So that's part of the reason why I haven't been around you guys. I've been pushing myself, just push. And then when I was on spring break, it was like, well, you know, la, 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 la. So that's what's up. I hope you are grinding. I hope you're not fucking around. I hope you're taking life seriously, because it's one step at a time. Every time I listen to bodybuilders, every time I listen to pro athletes, it's just like, hey, I do the thing nobody else wants to do, the boring, fucking boring, mundane shit, and I do it every day, and I've done it my whole life, and now here I am. And so that's an attitude I've been trying to adopt. Like when Kobe Bryant goes, oh, you know, it's a journey. Well, it's easy to say it's not about the destination when you've already been to the destination, but your mind is what you tell it to be, and you are what you say, right? What you say is what you believe. You make it true. So if you're constantly talking yourself down, like, that's not a good thing. Psychiatry has already proved that. You need to be talking yourself up. You can't be lying to yourself, but you can be saying good things. And so I've been trying to rewire my brain to say, like, this daily grind is where it's at. Like, this is life. This is the journey. You know, whether I'm 40, 50, millionaire, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be doing what? I'm going to be waking up early. I'm going to be practicing my hunting skills. I am going to be enhancing my physical performance. I am going to be studying scripture. I'm going to be retraining my mind. And I'm going to be taking care of shit around the house. And I'm going to be trying to be the best professional possible. I don't know if I told you guys, I did pass the phys ed exam. So, woo! I signed up for 12 credits. With the phys ed exam and 12 credits, I will be eligible for my supplemental certification. So theoretically, I could work as a PE teacher this upcoming fall. And I had a conversation with the superintendent about it. He sat me down. He's got these fancy couches. And, you know, we just talked shop. And I didn't sell it to him. My buddy, the assistant principal, he thought that was going to be a chance to really talk about my passion. You know, sell him your passion. And I was like, maybe I should have. But I just went in there as myself. He's like, why phys ed? Why phys ed? I'm like, I don't know, man, because I probably should have done it a long time ago, but there's just always been this attitude towards PE, like, if you can't do, teach, and if you can't teach, teach gym. And so that was kind of pervasive when I graduated, and, oh, you know, there's only one job per school, so it doesn't make any sense to do it, it'll be too hard to find a job. And now here I am at 32, and the reality is, if you're willing to put the work in, you'll get whatever you want, right? You just got to outwork everybody, and I'm not afraid to outwork people. And also, I want to work with at-risk kids. So that's my trouble with this science program is that now it's just like purely academics. It used to be for the kids that don't fit in the traditional classroom. And so it was off campus, it was out in the woods, and now it's on campus. And they still do lots of things, backpacking, canoeing, fishing, hiking, tree identification, boiling maple syrup, visiting different religious institutions. So it's still wicked cool, but it's a lottery system that's not really a lottery system. And they don't take, like, the real, you know, the real trouble raisers. Don't get me wrong. They get weeded out, right? By the time you get to sixth grade, if you were a real tough kid, you ain't going to be with Gen Pop. Yeah, you already bounced, right? You're either in the 811 program, you either, like, got a special ed label as other or oppositional defiant. Those are the two things that we have for kids who are super duper naughty but don't have anything wrong with them, right? They're actually smart. They're physically capable. But we give them a label so then we can turf them so they can get more support or so they can go to a new program. And so I told the superintendent, I'm like, listen, this seems like the next right step. It's been my whole life. It's what I research. It's what I'm passionate about. It gives me a chance to work with kids who are at risk year after year in a setting that they find more relatable. Maybe I can start a program of my own. Maybe I'll become an athletic director someday. Maybe I can use the phys ed cert with the science program because the kids are out of shape and they can't always achieve the goal of the trip because kids gas out, they're too fat, whatever. And so now I can justify taking them up on 10th period to the gym, to the fitness center, and getting them training. Nobody can come at me and say, oh, you're not qualified for that. It's like, fuck you, I got my cert. And so I just kept it real with him. And I think he kept it pretty real with me. He wasn't sure if the principal in that building is going to be a good match or not. Everybody's told me that she'll be a great match. I thought it would be awesome because she's already been a PE teacher. And so that shortened that learning curve, right? Like, whoo, I'm all about point A to point B as quick as I can. But whatever, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. They'll pick me or they won't. It doesn't matter. And yeah. So anyway, grinding, totally grinding. And I know you are too. I know you are too. And that's what I love about this community. All right. Listen, I've had a fair number of messages. I don't know how many I'm up to. Maybe 50. All right. Maybe more than that. And it's just people who want to be better. It's people who can relate to this fact that marijuana impairs us. It doesn't let us be everything that we could be, and we know we're selling ourselves short, and that just it's that unease and that unrest inside of us, and it's cost us things. I had a dude message me who was like, yeah, I quit, and I quit hard because you told me that you lost out on your favorite, on your dream property, and I knew that was going to happen to me, so I fucking quit. Well, good for him. That's what's up, you know, because I did. I lost out on my dream property. I lost out on a dream job when I gassed, and I just took the easy job that I'd already had instead of going for the extra interview for the school that I could see myself working at forever. So job, property, relationships with family members, relationships with friends, money, right? Finances. It's cost me money and money and money. It's just, you look back at the good times, and there's just a whole fucking pile of bad times to go with it. And for what? And so I've been, you know, oh, well, I smoke now. I hit 30 days. I know exactly how I'm going to feel when I smoke. There's no appeal right now, right? Like, I still remember what it's like to be high. I know exactly what's going to fucking happen. I've been smoking weed for 10 goddamn years. Excuse my French. So, you know, maybe 60 days from now I'll forget it. Or maybe a year from now I'll forget it. But this has been a big hurdle for me. I'm super thankful for everybody's support. Jamie in particular. I know I've been shouting you out, but I got a shout out to Jamie. She's been right there with me. 30 days in the books. Alan, I'm coming for you. I remember your 30 days, and I will see it. And I will chase you down. And when I find you, I will shake your hand. So, hey, listen, I don't know what's supposed to be next on the show, but I'm just going to sign off right now, everybody. Remember to find satisfaction in the struggle and peace in the moment. We'll see you next time.